Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, we're continuing our Prayers to the Creator series. The last passage you covered was Psalm 94, and I think it's safe to assume the next prayer to the Creator is also a psalm.
True.
Is it Psalm 95? You know, that's a well-known psalm with a creation theme and often used as a song of praise and worship song services.
Well, Scott, you're right. Psalm 95 definitely has a creation theme. And as you mentioned, it's been put to music and is sung by God's people in worship to this day. You know, it's a short psalm. Why don't we just read it right now? I'm sure it'll be a welcome encouragement to any believers listening.
Okay, you want me to start?
Sure.
Psalm 95:1. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms.
For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
In whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are his also.
The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice,
do not harden your hearts, as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the wilderness.
When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they had seen my work.
For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways.
Therefore I swore in my anger, truly they shall not enter into my rest.
So, one of the things that has always stood out to me after reading Psalm 95 is that abrupt change in focus or mood. It begins with joyful praise and thanksgiving, with great thoughts of the Creator's marvelous deeds. And then, in the middle of verse 7, it shifts to a warning and reminds us that the Creator was very displeased with the erring ways of his people.
Displeased? He was angry.
Yeah.
And we know what happened to all the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years.
Yes. And the point being, though they were the Creator's flock, they refused to listen to their shepherd and suffered the consequences. But with that short synopsis, considering our criteria for being a prayer to the Creator, did you notice anything missing, Scott?
Well, I'm afraid I did. Psalm 95 is not a prayer.
Right.
There's no portion of it addressing the Lord.
And so you might ask, why did I have us read it if we're supposed to be doing another program in our Prayers to the Creator series?
Don't ask me. You're the one who makes those decisions.
Well, that was a rhetorical question, Scott.
Oh, okay.
But here's the reason why I wanted to read Psalm 95, even though it's not a prayer to the Creator. It's what verse 2 said, quote, let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, unquote. So with that exhortation, I felt we should do just that. Shout joyfully with a psalm, which was telling us to do just that.
So you heard the Lord's voice and did not harden your heart.
My thinking, exactly.
Okay, but now that we've followed the advice of Psalm 95, are we going to look at a prayer to the Creator today?
Indeed we are, Scott. And to do that, we need to skip forward to Psalm 102.
Psalm 102? Wait a second. What about Psalm 96, Psalm 100? Those are both great creation psalms.
Well, they sure are. And since you've pointed it out, Scott, let's read Psalm 96.
Okay, now I just mentioned them because I was surprised you were skipping over them, knowing they, like Psalm 95, were well-known creation psalms.
Yes, and Scott, you brought them up.
So I have a hunch that you feel the need to follow Psalm 95's directive again.
Exactly. You don't have a problem with that, do you?
Oh, no, of course
so
not.
So here we go. Psalm 96:1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Join in, Scott.
Okay. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day.
tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples, which is precisely what we're doing, by the way.
Picking it up with verse 4, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods.
For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts.
Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth.
Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity.
Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains.
Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy.
Before the Lord, for he is coming, to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness." Wow, that psalm has so many great thoughts. I can hardly wait for the Lord to set this messed up world right.
Yeah.
To think someday he will judge the world with his absolutely perfect standard of fairness and righteousness.
I especially like the reference to the stability he will bring. Quote, "The world is firmly established, it will not be moved," unquote. That's such a contrast from all the instability we face in the world today.
And as a result, people are searching for whatever they think can afford them some sense of security, and are even willing to give up all kinds of freedoms to obtain it. But man is always looking for that security in what he himself devises. And you know what the Word of God says about that?
It's idolatry.
Exactly. It's idolatry. At its most basic form, an idol is a god man makes. But Psalm 96 sets the record straight. Verse 5 is such a profound statement. "For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." The true God was not created by man. Man was created by the true God, the creator of the heavens.
The heavens which will rejoice along with the rest of creation when the Lord comes to judge the earth.
Which is precisely the thought that the other psalm you brought up, Psalm 100, continues to proclaim. Psalm 100, a psalm for thanksgiving. "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth." Let's keep going, Scott.
"Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing."
Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
"Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name."
For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. So, there they were, Scott, Psalms 96 and 100. Great calls to worship, which highlight the attribute of the Lord as creator.
You know, Dr. Scripture, when we talk about Psalm 100, you know what that makes me think of?
What?
It's when we interviewed your grandson, James, and he recited the whole psalm from memory.
That's right. Now, that's been a couple of years ago.
And how old was he at the time?
He was 5.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's one of the most popular programs. So many people commented on it in Facebook and so forth. So that was really neat. Maybe we should have had his reciting it instead of you and me just now reading it.
Oh, but that's
anyway,
a great idea.
I didn't think of that. You just reminded me. That was cool. Anyway, something else, though, that we needed to notice about that Psalm 96 and Psalm 100. Did you notice something missing in them?
Yes, they are addressed to us. They exhort us to shout, praise, thank, and serve our Creator.
Amen.
And therefore, by our definition, they do not fit the criteria for prayers to the Creator.
Yep, and that's why I intended on skipping them, Scott, to get to Psalm 102, which is a prayer. In fact, in its heading and first line, it identifies itself as a prayer. Psalm 102 begins, "A prayer of the afflicted, when he is faint, and pours out his complaint before the Lord." And then verse 1 says, Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry for help come to thee. But Scott, although it was my intention to consider Psalm 102 today as part of our Prayers to the Creator series, now we're almost out of time.
I was wondering where you were going when you read verse 1 of Psalm 102.
Yes, well, we'll not try and cover Psalm 102 today. And we have you to thank.
What?
Well, I'm not saying that in a bad way. I mean, it's great. I enjoy just reading God's Word. That's a good thing to do now and then. Just read it. So, you're the one who brought up Psalm 95, 96, and 100.
Fine.
Psalms highlighting our God as Creator, but not directed to Him. Instead, these great Psalms give us reasons to address Him in praise, thanksgiving, and worship. And because of the form they take, there is one other thing about all three of these Psalms that I think we should note is missing, so to speak.
What would that be?
Well, since they are not addressed to God, there is not a single request made of Him.
That's right.
What each of these Psalms do is encourage us to give something back to Him. Now, I know none of them are in the form of a quotation of God speaking directly to us, which the Psalms and some of the prophets do. It has God speaking directly to us. Well, these Psalms don't do that. But here in these Psalms, we see the psalmist is writing in his own words. But is he not being inspired by God to write these things?
Of course.
And with that in mind, shouldn't we understand that these are actually requests of our Creator, which He is making of us through the psalmist?
I think I see your point, Dr. Scripture. And there are quite a number of requests made.
Yeah.
One of the first being what you decided to respond to when we read Psalm 95.
Mm-hmm.
Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms.
Okay, well, you know, we didn't exactly shout, but hopefully at least we were joyful
yeah.
as we read those psalms. But that is, as close as we could, what we tried to do as we read all three psalms in these few minutes we've had together today. Now, don't get me wrong, as though I'm intimating that there's something wrong with bringing our requests to the Lord in prayer. In fact, we just read, that's what Psalm 102 is. But we have been reminded there is an important place in our prayer life to be given to responding to what our Creator has requested of us and asking nothing in return. Here's a short list. Sing for joy. Shout joyfully. Come with thanksgiving. Shout joyfully with psalms. Worship and bow down. Do not harden your hearts. Sing a new song to the Lord. Bless His name. Tell of His glory. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of His name. Bring an offering. Worship in holy attire. Tremble before Him. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.